Hello and welcome back to Easy Hypnosis, Common Everyday Approach After Erickson. I'm Rob McNeely and here we are already in Module 4, The Where and How of Stories. I'm hoping you can already start to see where I might have got the idea of easy hypnosis and that wanting to introduce these steps in an easy, fun way so that you can take your own time and find your own way of settling into it, making your own adjustments, your own adaptions, and developing your own style with this. So stories are a part of our human experience. You know, from children, we read fairy stories. We read books. We watch movies. They're part of, and evolutionarily, they go way back. Oral stories go back before the invention of written writing. So they're a part of our human culture. And the marvelous thing about stories is that they are simply stories. No one's telling us that we should do this. No one's telling us that we should do that. They're just stories. And when we listen to a story, a whole bunch of people can listen to the same story and every person will make their own meaning, make their own connections and find something that's relevant to them as an individual. Now, I'm outlining three different kinds of stories that we can use therapeutically. One is a clinical story about some other client who had a problem, got over it. Another kind of story that I'm speaking about, I'm calling a life story. It's something that's got nothing to do with therapy at all. And then there's the marvelous kinds of story that we're calling early learning. Now, let's look at them one at a time. Clinical stories. Erickson was, particularly towards the end of his life, was very keen on these kinds of stories. And they always began, once upon a time, Erickson's clinical stories had a tendency to begin with, I had a client, not unlike you, who da-da-da-da-da, had the same problem, and da-da-da-da-da, they did this, they did that, they had hypnosis with me or whatever, and they found the solution. Now, when we tell a clinical story to a client about someone else, not unlike them, I've seen clients breathe a sigh of relief. There are other people out there with this. I'm not a freak. I'm not weird. I'm not the only one who's got this. So that takes some of the pressure off, tends to normalize, brings it to ground, and makes the whole process more accessible and less scary. Also, in the clinical story, there is the message that this other person with a similar problem found a solution. So we're not saying to the client, they did so you could, but there's an implication there. This other client, not unlike yourself, who had the same problem, and they got over it. So the client is going to naturally somehow be in touch with that possibility within themselves without it being made explicit. And we can find plenty of examples from our own practice. When you've been in practice for a while, you'll notice that there are certain patterns that are recurrent and someone did this, someone did that, and then, oh, okay, this is a variation on that. But if there's nothing that you can think of from your practice or if you're new to this work, then you can always speak about cases that you've read about. I read a case in which Erickson had a client who had da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and he did what he did, and this happened, and that happened, and then da-da-da-da-da, and then they were just fine. Or you can quote some case studies that you've read in a book, in a textbook, in some other kind of clinical recordings, then you can say, I saw this on a recording, I read this in a book, and it was about a client who da-da-da-da-da, and they got over their problem, and they're now just fine. And so the implication, again, is they got over it, I can too. So there's no shortage of clinical stories. And once you get into the swing of it, you find them pretty easy to find, and they're so helpful. Now, there are other kinds of stories that have got nothing to do with therapy. I'm just calling them life stories. And these stories come from movies, from books, from fairy stories, from mythology, from all anywhere, but not from the therapy room. And it's important that in telling these stories that we make some kind of link between the story that we're telling and the client who's on the other end of the story that we're telling the story to and for. And if we know what's missing for the client, which might be a feeling of confidence, or it might be just getting on with something instead of procrastinating, or it may be pausing before they jump into something, or whatever it is that's missing for the client, if we find a story from whatever source in which whatever was missing for this client is also missing in this story and in the story, whatever is missing is found. So it's just another way of creating the expectancy in the client that, well, in this story that happened, in that story it happened, in that film, in that book, in that situation that happened, in that forest, in that garden that happened. So if it happened there, maybe it can happen for me. Again, some more implication there without any force or making someone doing it or even suggesting that they do it, which is another form of force, but just offering a parallel process that it happened there and offering that as a parallel process with the implication. It happened there, it can happen with you. Now, early learning stories are, I think, fantastic. I really, really have a growing appreciation of them. And they have the form that when you first learn to whatever, write your name, walk, crawl, swim, ride a bike, whatever, you had a problem, and over time you learnt that. Now, if we know what someone likes, we can assume that they have learned whatever they need to have learned in order to be competent enough to like it. Otherwise, they would hardly like it. And so if we know what someone likes, and we've found that out by asking, and we know what's missing for the client in their problem, that has to be a problem, that once they connect with it, it'll no longer be a problem, they'll be able to resolve it. We can offer a story which says, when you first began to, whatever it is that they like to do, you had the problem that you're having now in your life. And over time, you learned in your way, in your own time, in your own style, so that you are able to resolve all of that, and now you not only know how to do it, but you really like it. And can you notice the implication of that? That you did that with what you like to do, riding a bicycle or whatever that is, so the implication is you can do it here too. It's simply an extension of perhaps you could. I don't know when you'll be ready to. And one of the major benefits of an early learning story is that it can transform the process of change from something that some clients feel obligated or obliged, or that they should be able to, oh, okay, that's missing. All right, I'll just do that and I'll be fine. sometimes that can seem too abrupt. Sometimes the change required seems too big a leap. And so by telling an early learning story, it transforms this expectation of a leap of faith, like stepping out into nowhere, transforms that into a process of learning. And we know with any learning that sometimes it happens quickly, sometimes it happens slowly, sometimes it's intermittent, sometimes it comes and goes. But eventually, once we've learnt it, we've learnt it. And the problem that we had when we first started to learn it is no longer a problem. So, my invitation is in, just as an exercise, you could think of a problem that you have. Or, if there's a friend willing to play, a problem that they have, or a client, or a colleague. And then, identify what's missing. We've been playing with this for a while now, and I hope you're starting to get used to this very strange but spectacularly useful question. So we know what's missing. Then, if you're running yourself through this process, just spend some time with yourself and think, now, what clients have I had that have had a similar sort of situation, and how did they overcome it? And then a clinical story can come from that, that you can write down or tell yourself. Then have a look at finding a life story, something that happened in your garden, something that happened on a television program, in a book, where what's missing for you is found and everything turns out very nicely. And the same applies if it's a client or a colleague or a friend. Make up a story that's got nothing to do with therapy, where the same resource, the same experience was missing and it was found. And then, here we go with an early learning story. If it's you or a client or a friend, whatever, you know what you or your client or your friend likes. So we can construct a story which has the form something like, when you first da-da-da-da-da, whatever you like to do, you had a problem of not feeling this or wondering, feeling unconfident about that. And here's the key point. Over time, you learnt it. And now you've learnt it so well that you don't need to worry about it or think about it. In fact, even if you were to look back now, you might smile at the difficulty that you had back then. Because it may have been difficult then, but it's not difficult now. It's so easy. So, the invitation is to play with this, with yourself, other people. Play with making up these stories, creating them. If you're doing this exercise with a friend or colleague, get them to you know, what stories can you come up with that can help? I've even done that with clients. If I've been stuck for a story and think, oh, I can't think of anything from life that's going to be relevant here, I've asked several clients. So, do you know of any situations where da-da-da-da-da-da-da? And clients can usually come up with something. And then, thanks for that story. So I'm going to retell it now in my words. And here we go. And there's the story. So, have a play with this. And as with all of the other exercises, please leave a comment about what you found useful, what you discovered, what was surprising. And by writing it down, we have a chance to share our learning together. Thank you.